Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. There is a theme that I hope you all can glean from the show on a day-over-day basis. And one of the things, one of the strategies deployed by the MAGA regime is to keep the news coming at such a fast and furious clip that we can't really pay attention enough to understand what's really happening or to understand the actual merits of the administration's position, but generously assuming that there may be a few on a given issue, nor the true counterarguments, nor can we get past what I'm going to call the difference between rhetoric and results. Rhetoric and punchy one-liners, really easy for us to remember. And Donald Trump admittedly has got a ton of them. The man speaks in meme. It's not English. It's meme, I think. And he's got a lot of them. And oftentimes these public policy questions, they are susceptible to sound biting if that's all you're interested in doing. But it requires a moment. It requires some additional work on our parts as consumers of information that want to be good faith consumers of information to understand what's really happening. So we try to do that every day. We started today with my friend and restaurant owner of the amazing spot called Amelinda, Greg Leon. He had posted on Facebook basically saying, don't be fooled by the, quote, no tax on tips. And he listed out a whole number of the reasons why this is not really going to help anybody in a meaningful long-term way. In other words, when you get past the rhetoric and you look at the results won't be anywhere near what people who need this the most might hope them to be. It is, at the end of the day, the Donald Trump playbook of politics, the bait and switch. You think you know what you're getting, but it's not going to actually turn out like that one little bit. Our next expert, she is from the Center for American Progress Fund Action Center. Let me try this again. The Center for American Progress Action Fund. There, it came out all in one fell swoop. Her name is Lily Roberts. She is the managing director of their inclusive growth section, and she's going to help us all get smarter about the tax on tips. And the fact, let's just start with this. What are the three or four things about how this is actually going to operate that people need to know? We were talking a little bit about this before you came on, Lily, to help put this in proper context.
Yeah, so the no tax on tips piece of the budget reconciliation bill that's currently about to be voted on in the Senate is this idea that you would carve out tips that you get from an individual from having to be taxed. And that's never been tried before. There's, there are a lot of logistical questions about how that would happen. And it would apply to a really, really small group of people. So about a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all. They're so low income because wages in this country are really, really low. And they're particularly low for people who make what's called the subminimum wage. So in most places, Wisconsin included, but, you know, across the country, there's a regular minimum wage. And at the federal level, that's $7.25. A lot of states and cities have raised that pretty significantly. But then there's this
Lily,
other
don't
group.
Worry. Wisconsin hasn't. It's still I know. Locked in at 7.25.
I was looking at the map and like, you guys are being eclipsed by the Dakotas. Like that is, it's not great news for Wisconsin.
And by every single one of our neighbors.
Yes. Yeah. Like it's, we're surrounded.
We're a weed desert and a low wage desert. That's a whole nother topic for another day. Go ahead, Lily. The sub minimum wage, even lower than the 7.25.
Right. So nationally, that's $2.13 an hour, which is just an absolutely ridiculous, like that doesn't even count as a wage. that has been frozen in time since 1991. You know, it's been a really reprehensibly long time since we raised the federal minimum wage in the first place. But then the fact that that's not even a minimum, it's even lower than that for people who work for tips. And we're going to be mostly talking about people who work for tips in this conversation, but it's important to know that the sub-minimum wage applies to people with disabilities too. So there are whole groups of people, workers, we've said, you actually aren't even worth the minimum wage. And that's the shameful part of this. The no tax on tips piece is going to be a little bit of a financial giveaway to a very small number of people, but it does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. And that is the piece that sort of is the bait and switch that you were talking about here.
And just in case you're keeping track, Wisconsin, we do a little bit better than the federal minimum wage when we talk about the sub-minimum wage. People
just
are
barely.
Just barely. It's like 233. I looked it up during the break. Mm-hmm. Folks, just so that you know, when I worked at Heinemann's, I was talking about this with my last guest, slanging hash and eggs in breakfast and sandwiches in my lunch shift. Back in the 90s, I don't tell you exactly when, I was making $2.33 as a base wage. And God bless our customers. On occasion, I'd get, you know, the older folks leaving me a couple of 2-3 quarters. It wasn't really getting it done if we had slow shifts. It was, I could not pay for my gas, basically, some weeks to get to work. And I was on the bus. Let's dig in a little bit more. So first point is 1/3 of all tipped workers don't make enough to even benefit one little bit because they don't pay federal income tax because they're not above the federal poverty level. Second thing is, this isn't a permanent tax break, is it, Lily?
No, it's a 4-year tax break. It would go away. But the things that wouldn't go away from this bill are permanent cuts to SNAP and Medicaid. It would make the Affordable Care Act marketplace insurance much more expensive. Those are programs that people depend on all the time and that they need access to throughout their life, especially people who work for low wages. We know that a ton of folks on Medicaid are working low wage jobs. People who use SNAP, they're working low wage jobs. They need that supplement to their income so that their family doesn't starve. Those things would be permanent and they would be really dramatic cuts. And so they're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. Which, by the way, would be structured for so people who make up to $160,000 could declare their income as tips and then not pay taxes on that. So
I wanted that, to, yeah,
that gives away the game a little bit.
It does. And I wanted to get into that a little bit. But there's a second point, of course. I talked about this a bit with Greg, the restaurant owner that owns and operates and is the EC at Amalinda in Milwaukee. Payroll taxes aren't going away. You still have to report all of your tips. So it's not like, oh, hey, I just don't have to worry about this. You still have to report all your tips. You still have to pay Social Security tax. You still have to pay unemployment insurance tax if your state has that. Other state payroll taxes plus Medicaid and Medicare. So it is not a tax holiday on all tips. The other thing, Lily, I wanted to ask about, a lot of restaurants have tried to get away from the exploitative nature of gratuities by pooling gratuities and then distributing them. And as I understand this bill, it has to be a gratuity earned by an individual. So it would create this massive disincentive for the organizations that have tried to get away from people having to deal with sexual harassment or just mistreatment on the job, to try to share it with the busboys and the chefs. And they're saying you can't do it that way, as I'm reading it.
Absolutely. And a lot of business owners have decided that that's a better business model for them. They want people to have the predictability, right? Like, a lot of what's tough about running a business is having to hire new people all the time, having to train them, having to make sure that they're like, you know, that you're going to cover all the shifts that you need to cover. Because otherwise, somebody's only going to want to take the Sunday brunch shift. You've got to be able to pool the labor. You've got to be able to help people sort of smooth that out and have business owners be able to plan. And that's always been a tool that folks have tried to use. But it seems like this bill, the way that they've structured it, would actually interfere with that.
It's so ill-conceived, and it is such a again, I want to start with this fundamental premise that these people, folks working in the Waffle House, folks working in the George Webb here in Milwaukee, you deserve a living wage, something that actually covers the basic essentials of living. If somebody's willing to work 40 or 50 hours of hard work every week, and we say, hey, we value work and people pulling themselves up by the bootstraps, then it doesn't track to me that we're going to say to you, you're going to make $2.33 an hour, and if your tips don't make up for it, screw you.
And that we're going to put the onus on the worker and the customer to actually make this happen, right? Like, we don't have other, this is not how it works at other businesses. We don't outsource the payment of the person, you know,
to
of the
employee customer.
To the customer. And it just means that we have this whole system that is totally structured so that people get exploited, they get underpaid, and they burn out on work that they should love. You know, people, you know, many people love working in hospitality. They love being around food and restaurants and bars, and all sorts of other tipped work. But we make it so hard for these industries to do well and for people to do well in these careers and stay and progress because it's just a really terrible system of payment.
Well, and to the folks that are listening here and thinking, well, this is how I reward excellent service. Guess what? You could still do that. People would just be able to afford housing, you know, and food and medical care. That, like, that's the hidden secret here. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I talked with Amelinda's executive chef and owner about this, too. If we had a sustainable wage in the United States, meaning a wage that actually can sustain an adult human being, and that was the standard, all restaurants, all businesses that currently have employees that work on a tipped model would be competing on equal footing because they all would have to pay people an actual living wage. Right now, if a restaurant or a bar wants to pay people a living wage, they are at a competitive disadvantage.
And they're also taking away from their own potential customers. So one of the first things people spend money on when they have like a little bit of a financial cushion is they go out to eat more. We saw in really interesting research, states that had eliminated the sub-minimum wage, they had raised it so that they paid people more on par with regular minimum wage workers, they actually recovered faster from COVID in terms of like employment in the restaurant and hospitality sectors because they had more people who had some money in their pocket to go out and spend it.
And in Wisconsin, we have the highest per capita spend on dining out and recreational dollars. I would like to call us like the most social, let's go hang out and meet and have fellowship over food and drink together. This is the Wisconsin way. I think we can do so much better here and nationwide for folks. And we haven't even talked, Lily, about the fact that, okay, this may provide 4 years. I wonder what's going to happen in 4 years. That's weird that it's time to sunset in 4 years. It's going to help a tiny percentage of people for 4 years while it leaves behind the 95% of other low-income workers. Can you stick around for another segment, Lily?
Yeah,
terrific. We're going to pick it up on the other side. My name's Maggie Dawn. We're talking about actual help for working people on today's show. Keep it locked. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a call, a question? You can text or call us. Comment 855-752-4842. Do you work in the service industry? Do you think this is a good idea? Reach out.